Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. It is the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen, our engineer, producer, and I welcoming you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, May the 3rd, 2016. A very big announcement, one of the biggest announcements, economic announcements, that's come down in quite a few years concerning the future of Caterpillar Incorporated, the world's leading manufacturer of construction and mining equipment, selecting Tucson as the new location for Caterpillar's surface mining and technology offices, adding to, they already have 300 employees here, but this is 600, more than 600 new jobs, high-paying jobs, with an average of about $90,000 a year. Let's go now to the live line, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Mr. Huckleberry, how are you?
Just fine, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. This is, I was just saying, this is probably one of the biggest economic announcements in a long time. Would you agree with that?
I would agree, and it's probably fairly significant in the fact that it's a relocation of a Fortune 100 company in one of their major divisions, which is mining, surface mining and technology. So I think it's important to stress the fact that it's, while it's related to mining, it's also the technology arm of Caterpillar.
They're going to build, spend $50 million to build a new headquarters building. Is that correct?
That's correct. They're going to lease two county buildings in the meantime. For a short period of time, they're going to be in Bank of America, county-owned building, and leasing space on the 11th floor to probably house 40 to 50 of their initial relocatees. And then over the next probably 6 months, they're going to lease and lease for 4 years the 97 East Congress building the county has. And that'll house up to about 350 of the new employees coming to the region.
So the economic impact is what, Mr. Huckleberry?
Well, the economic impact of the package of 650 new employees over a five-year period, just in those 5 years, it's $600 million to the region. If you were to calculate it for 10 years, it'd be $1.9 billion. And I think it's important to understand that these are all jobs that, on average, are paying $90,000, which means there's some more than that and some less than that. And so it's really 2.5 to 3 times the median wage here in the region.
And they have, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, they have 300 or so employees here. They're very much involved with a test facility south of Tucson, correct?
Yes, Tanana Hills. They have about 300 employees down there, and they've had that facility open for years. And it's really their testing and their proving grounds for their manufacturer of mining equipment and other construction equipment.
And how did this deal come about? Just kind of a thumbnail sketch, Chuck. How did the whole deal come about?
Well, I think Caterpillar was looking to relocate and consolidate. Obviously, with a downturn in commodities, they were looking really how to reduce their own cost and how to become more effective. And so I think they looked at a number of locations. Denver, Colorado was examined. We know another location in Arizona. And it's been a process that's probably taken now 5 to 6 months of just discussing with Caterpillar executives what they needed and how we could accommodate their needs in a relocation and consolidation of a major business arm of the company.
You've been around a long time, as I have, pushing 30 years here this time around in Tucson. What would you compare this to, this announcement? We've had a lot. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I would say it's very close to the initial announcement in the mid-'80s of the IBM facility, the disk storage facility that was opened over here on Rita Road. So it's similar to that. You know, we know that their business will grow as the success of the company grows, and so we're hoping that they become successful. And I think when we also know that in mining, we're supporting mining that relates to cutting-edge technology, to lesser intrusive impacts on the environment, all the things that Mining is now becoming sustainable activity and promoting sustainable activities. And so I think that they'll actually have a huge influence with regard to, we'll just say, how they grow their own business and how the mining technology evolves over time. And I think the University of Arizona, with their mining college and the access to new graduates, is also a factor that helped Caterpillar decide that Tucson was a good place for their corporate headquarters.
Okay, so they'll start moving people in within 30 days or so, right?
Yes, we're going to have two leases on our Board of Supervisors agenda on the 17th of May, and that allows them to begin moving their staff into a temporary building on the Bank of America 11th floor starting after June 1st.
Well, this is a huge win for Tucson, and these people are coming from all over the world. Is that correct? Different outfits?
Yes, there's a consolidation coming from the Milwaukee, Wisconsin, probably Illinois, as well as Europe. And so it's a major benefit regionally, and it's really a benefit to Arizona and economic development activities.
All right. Chuck Huckleberry, thank you very much. Thanks for sharing the news with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks
appreciate
a lot. Chuck Huckleberry, bye-bye. Pima County Administrator. Big news, 650 jobs, over $90,000 each, the average for these jobs. It's 12:09 now on this very beautiful Tuesday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. May is Older Americans Month. Joining me in studio, the president and CEO of the Pima Council on Aging, the local area agency on aging for Pima County's older adults and family caregivers working on the front lines of aging every day. His name is W. Mark Clark. Mark, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me in.
Important day in Tucson. That's good news for everybody.
Well, it's great news for everybody. I can't tell you how happy I am to hear that.
Because it trickles down to all areas of our economy.
Absolutely.
And all agencies, nonprofits like you're very much involved with.
Absolutely.
The U.S. Congress and the president has signed this reauthorization. It's really very, very important. It was 51 years kind of coming in the reauthorization of the Older Americans Act.
Well, the Older Americans Act was originally passed in 1967 and signed by President Johnson in, I think, June. Mm-hmm. This reauthorization we've been working on nationally for 5 years. So we're very excited that it's happened. We had hoped to get it done last year, and for reasons I don't understand, we couldn't get it out of Congress. And so it came out, and we certainly appreciate the support of our members of the House. Congress members Grijalva and McSally were very instrumental and helpful, as were Senators Flake and McCain and other folks. In fact, the final bill passed with came out of the House and the Senate really with unanimous consent, sort of everybody agreed. So we're really happy.
There are 11 million older adults and caregivers, I guess, who rely on these programs, correct?
There are, and maybe more. I know, you know, here in Pima County, there are 242,000 people,
wow,
according to 2015 census, who are over the age of 60, which is the number that we look at for Older Americans Act services. Even more important, and a statistic which kind of surprised me even at that, Forbes in February put Tucson as the third most aged large metropolitan area in the country.
Really?
We were behind Tampa, St. Petersburg, and Pittsburgh. They said that we have 17.7% of the people in the metropolitan area were older. So
we have a rather unusual dynamic and demographic, to say the least. We have the university, so we have a lot of younger people, mm-hmm, and we have a lot of older people.
Right. Well, I think the dynamic that's very interesting with our population here is that we're actually aging faster as a percentage of the population than the rest of the country on average. And so we're getting, in this community, older quicker. In fact, you probably know that the fastest growing segment of the aging population is over the age of 85. Mm-hmm. And that population in Tucson between 2000 and 2010, that those census periods grew at twice the national average. Still only less than 3% of the population, but that is a growing population. It also tends to be folks who really do need the kind of services that PCOA and our pantheon of wonderful subcontract agencies do provide support for.
Older people, I think it's safe to say, want to live independently in their own home as long as humanly possible.
Absolutely. The studies are very clear. That number is north of 85, maybe even a little north of 90% of older adults who say they want to stay in their homes. And for the vast majority of them, it is the right decision. Now, at some point, if people really need a lot of significant care, then the right decision might be to look for a more supportive facility, place to live. But for the vast majority, staying in their homes is what they want to do. And that's where the majority of the resources we have at PCOA go to supporting those older adults staying in their homes.
And is it getting easier for them to accomplish that goal because of the resources you're offering?
I think it's easier for them. There's a lot of technology that companies are selling and talking about to try to, you know, you can now get an electronic pill dispenser that will drop pills in a bowl, and if you don't pick them up, it'll beep at you, and if you don't pick them up fast enough after so long, it'll even start calling people that you tell it to call to come and see what's going on. So there's some technology, but I have to say, the last several years for PCOA and other area agencies on aging in Arizona have been difficult because of both federal and state budget cuts. And so, in fact, we provide services right now to about 900 people living in their homes, folks to come in their houses and help them with changing linens and maybe taking a bath. Well, maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago, we had 3,000 people we were able to support. So,
and the budget picture, the lawmakers currently working on that, will be a little more favorable to Pima Council on Aging?
Well, I think in 2011, the state reduced funding for the area agencies by about $5.5 million, and the budget that the legislature's arguing about and angsting over today, as we speak, literally, has a restoration of $700,000. So it's the first new money in more than 7 years, and we're excited about that. And we're hopefully going to be back next year talking with a new group of legislators trying to see if we can get more of that money restored.
How can people support Pima Council on Aging?
Well, of course, they can go to our website at pcoa.org, and there's an astounding amount of helpful information there. There also are, there is a donate mm-hmm. button. I think one of the best things they could do is to call a county supervisor or even a city council member or a member of the state legislature and say, I support older adults. Please support older adults yourself.
All right. W. Mark Clark, CEO and President, Pima Council on Aging. Thank you, Mark. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Coming up now on 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. He's back from his European travels. He'll be with us in studio, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman, right after this.
What is it, boy? You want to go where? To the Humane Society's Putting on the Dog? It is the best event in Tucson. You're right. We should go.
Get your tickets to Tucson's best pet event, Putting on the Dog, Friday, May 6th from 6 to 9 at the Tucson Hilton El Conquistador. Food by Tucson Originals, live and silent auctions, great entertainment, and more. Tickets at hssaz.org/POD. All proceeds benefit the Humane Society of Southern Arizona.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at SOAZNewsX.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is back from his European adventures, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you?
I am well, Bill. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. It's very interesting. I asked Mr. Huckleberry to reflect, because he's been here forever.
Right.
What does he think? This is kind of comparable. And he says, this really goes back to the IBM days.
Right. And of course, we're hoping that the stuff that Caterpillar does here doesn't become obsolete and they have to close it down in a couple of years.
Yeah.
But this is huge, and it's so important for Tucson to focus on industry segments and specific things that we do well. And mining technology seems to fit right in. You know, the last leg of my journey was in Lyon, France. Mm-hmm. Now, Lyon is kind of the second or third largest city in France, depending upon how you measure, whether you take the burbs or not. But it was a city that was a university town. Sound mm-hmm. familiar?
Yes.
But also its chief industry was silk production.
Huh.
Now, silk production in France, high quality, you know, silk is really or was very important. But guess who their main competitor is?
China.
Of course. So they had to find ways of improving their economy. And they have done it very, very successfully. The economy has now grown in the tourist segment. There were maybe three or four riverboats on the Rhone 20 years ago. There's now 16 riverboats on the Rhone, and they all stop at Lyon. But more importantly, they took some of the young talent that they have in the universities there, and they've got them focused on software and gaming. And Lyon is now the leading software game producer and developer.
I had no idea.
France.
So the big gaming area. Huh?
Big gaming area. Hmm. So it's really interesting. And, of course, the whole Rhone area, I mean, wine and wineries and that kind of thing. But it's a city that needed to find a direction. And apparently, if you take a look at the national bird in China, the crane, take a look at the sky in Lyon, and guess what you see?
The crane.
Cranes everywhere.
Well, second cities, and Lyon being a second or in some cases third, depending on the way that you look at the population, always seem to have to struggle.
Absolutely.
I grew up in Chicago. We were the second city to your hometown, New York City.
Absolutely.
And Tucson, second city to Phoenix. So there's always, you got to find that niche, the niche.
Right. You got to think, you know, I love what the current administration here in Tucson has been doing with developing downtown and aiming to hit single after single after single.
Right.
But at some point, there needs to be a bigger idea. There needs to be something overarching that really attracts industry and business in. And I'm not sure we've been able to fully define that. I think for a while we did with aerospace, but it's not clear to me that we are the first city that comes to mind when companies like Caterpillar are looking to relocate or expand. And that's the kind of thing we need. We need that, and we need manufacturing.
How are we doing with the market right now?
The market is kind of stuck in a rut right now. Mm-hmm. Today is not a good day. We've had a couple of bad days,
It's Tuesday. What do you expect?
Yeah, and it's Tuesday. Yeah. But we're about where we opened the year, and that's a little annoying, this up and down flatness. And you know, what we're beginning to see is that the reason the market is unable to break out has to do with the accumulation of several factors of uncertainty. And I heard it described today, and I just love the term, so I've got to repeat it. I can't claim it for my own. But it's called the uncertainty tax.
Hmm.
So that several areas of uncertainty are leading to reluctance to commit to risky investments or risk investments. And those uncertainties fall into many flavors, and they're out of the control, really, of the general market and private companies. One, of course, is the economy of China. And linked to that is the real slowdown, and this has been going on now for a couple of years since the dollar has grown in value against the euro and the yen. Slowdown in manufacturing, and because our exports are less attractive to those who would buy them. We have now an election. You know, for a while it was kind of a joke, and you know, we were certain that everybody would come to their senses, and you know, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And I don't want to, you know, give away too much politically here, but it is clear that some of the policies that are being talked about in terms of trade policies,
isolationism,
just not understanding the importance of an interlinked world and a world that you just can't extricate yourself from. That as economists think about that and think about the economic impact of trying to implement policies like that, they're getting a little frightened, and that is causing uncertainty. We're also seeing the Fed, giving mixed messages about what they're going to do with interest rates. Now, as you know,
here we go again.
Yeah, right. Now, my prediction, and I'm not backing off of it, is that we'll only have one more this year. It'll be in September. But we're beginning to see some of the more aggressive presidents of the Fed talk about the likelihood of two or maybe three more increases this year. That's causing uncertainty. So there's a bunch of stuff out there that every time we get some really good news, we get some, you know, countervailing bad news, and that's making the markets really a little skittish. Now, yesterday we had Warren Buffett say, you know, it doesn't really matter what happens in the election. The economy's on the right track, and it's going to be fine. But Warren Buffett's ability to zig and zag in big numbers is much greater than the ability of the average investor.
No kidding. So it's been frustrating, this one step forward, one step back.
Gosh,
we keep going back and forth. But I think for the investor, it's just like, let's wait and see how this all turns out.
Well, and that kind of standing on the sidelines or holding a bunch of resources on the sidelines is what slows the market down. Mm-hmm. And do I think that's the wise thing to do at this point? Yeah, I kind of do. Nevertheless, the accumulation around the investing population of people doing that does cause this kind of, well, let's get in. Okay, we have a 200, you know, point day. Let's get out. No, we have a negative 200 point day. We have that kind of volatility. And at the end of the day, it's a net zero. And, you know, it could be worse. On the other hand, I think that we really need to see some, you know, confidence in this economy in order to get the markets moving again. And when the markets get moving again and people have confidence in that, then incomes go up. I mean, all of the things that good investing does, in addition to which, we have the problem of people's portfolios not moving, people depending upon these portfolios for their retirement. I mean, Mark was talking just a couple of minutes ago about the growth in retired and retirement people.
Apparently,
people over
third,
60.
Forbes said third fastest growth of older people in the United States.
But, just in general, because of the baby boom boomers like myself and you, who are really, you know, getting ready to retire, thinking about retirement, whatever, we get very antsy about our portfolios when we know we're going to have to depend upon those portfolios. So that's causing, I think, the stagnation in the marketplace. And we're watching it very closely. When people come to me for advice, we talk through these issues very carefully.
And we hope you do call Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. The best first step would be go to buckmastershow.com. There's a place there with all of our fine supporters and sponsors. We link to all of our sponsors. Shelley's one of them. Just hit the link, and he's got Shelley's number, and he will get to you.
I do that even from Europe, but now I'm back.
Shelley,
you're going.
Yeah, I'm going soon, as I see now the dollar losing ground to the euro, which is good for American manufacturing, but I don't know if it's just a temporary blip, because there were some Eurozone reports that showed things were better.
Right, but it's a very narrow range. I mean, in the three and a half weeks I was there, I think the average rate was about $1.12 to the euro, and it didn't
change
very
a penny
much.
Or two. Yeah. All right, Shelley Fishman, thanks. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
All right.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI. We are live streaming at KVOI.com and on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. One of our fine sponsors is Green Things. They have expanded from 4 acres to 13 acres. Everything you need that's green, and in the cases of pottery, all colors, and really nice pottery, too. They've got some great roses over there. I know, I bought some recently. They're just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, 3384 East River. They have the workshops, gardening workshop. They're free every Saturday morning at 10. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show Alex Molusky, who is a Republican candidate, one of three in the Republican primary for U.S. Senate. Mr. Molusky owns and operates a graphics company, a printing and promotional products company up in the Phoenix area. He also hosts a show here on KVOI Saturday afternoons from 5 to 6. Alex, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Appreciate you giving me the time on your show today.
So tell me how the campaign is shaping up for you.
Very well. Very well. Thanks for asking. Anything in particular you'd like to know about it? I'm very open to sharing.
Well, why did you decide to get into this? And quite frankly, the Kelly Ward people feel that you being in the race is kind of going to dilute the challenger vote to Senator McCain.
They might be entitled to think that, but considering I was the first one that filed, I don't see how they can make that argument that I'm the one diluting the pool. I think you would want to take a look at her campaign and ask her why she got in.
Well, let's talk about why you got in, Alex.
Okay, absolutely. Well, I think like many Americans out there, small business owners, people working for a living, people getting or seeing or feeling the federal government overreach, we're frustrated. We're frustrated by lack of leadership, by, I guess, those that don't seem to follow the Constitution being our leaders. And I looked at how I had been able to succeed in the free market and look at the generations that are coming up and seeing how hard it is for them to actually achieve this dream that we all have. And I started to think about my children, and I didn't want them to be 30 years old trying to find a job because we have such a poor federal government guidance system of, I guess, say, overregulating business, overregulating jobs, overregulating everything that we do, overtaxing, overspending, and not giving my children the chance of a real dream without having to look at a federal deficit that's going to get so large, or without the idea that Social Security and Medicare won't be there for them. I just didn't like what I saw, and I also understood the ancestors that we all have here in America, my ancestors, many Americans' ancestors, many people here that have fought for our Constitution and did not deem it a good idea if I just went to bed and woke up the next day and decided not to fight for my family.
You are the state director for the Fair Tax. What is that all about, Alex?
Well, the Fair Tax is essentially a consumption-based tax, one that our founders actually added into our Constitution. Article 1, Section 8 allows us to do a few things, not many, but one of them is if we are to tax the people, we can have tariffs, but we can also have an excise tax, and that is a sales tax, which is the fair tax. Our Constitution says nothing about an income tax, which, of course, is our 16th Amendment. So the fair tax, consumption-based tax, one time only on new goods and services, and I prefer that form of taxation much better than what we have in play right now, and so did our founders.
You have been very active in politics, correct? You're a precinct committeeman for your district up there in the Phoenix area?
Yes, precinct committeeman in LD23, which is the largest precinct group in the state, about, I believe, over 400 members right now. But I've been involved in politics, not out front running as a candidate, but somebody who has worked with other candidates to help get them elected through much of my adult life.
Let's talk a little bit about what's wrong, in your opinion, with Senator McCain.
Well, you could start with Thomas Jefferson's number one argument, is that we are supposed to call our representation from the people, citizen legislators.
Mm-hmm.
And John McCain has been in office 33 and a half years, which doesn't really bode well to say that's somebody who is in touch with the citizenry. So that's just one thing, but I haven't been really happy with his treatment of our veterans, and he is a veteran, so that really confuses me how he's seemed to ignore the needs of our veterans and turned a blind cheek to them. And we can talk about his funding of our federal budget. We can talk about his foreign affairs. We can talk about just about anything we want to of John McCain. But at the end of the day, I just believe it's time. He needs to retire. And I think the numbers that we all are seeing out there, most of us understand that John McCain is the least popular sitting senator in the United States with his constituents, and right now he loses. If he were to be the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party here in Arizona, he would lose in a general election to the Democrat.
What about your own company? It's Optimum Graphics USA, is that correct?
Yes, it is, and I really do appreciate the plug there on the front, and once again, you're helping to promote the free market. I thank you very much there. It's a printing company, and I also handle promotional products, so that's very helpful when you're running a campaign. But what,
yeah.
I know, but it seems that most of America and also 15% of Arizonans' number one issue in the races right now are they want somebody who is an outsider, who's never run for political office before, and who is also a successful business person. Well, I happen to be the one that fits that bill here in the race. So that's a 15-point bump that I get over any candidate. So when you put me head-to-head, I don't lose the U.S. Senate seat to Ann Kirkpatrick. And our Senate seat needs to stay red. You understand, with our Supreme Court justices, potentially three or four getting chosen in the next, you know, 6 to 8 years, we need to make sure that our Senate stays red. And this election cycle, 24 out of the 34 seats are held by Republicans. So we are very vulnerable. The Democrats can spend a lot of money concentrating on weak races where the sitting candidate, in this case John McCain, is very vulnerable. And they will focus here, folks. They absolutely will.
How do we get more information about you? Go to Molusky for Senate?
No, you can just go to Molusky.com. Ellis Island really put a fun one on my last name, so there's not many named like us, but I'm very grateful to them now. It was hard for other people to spell growing up, but with U.S. right in the middle of it, it's nice and easy for people to find it. But that's MelusKey.com. You can learn more about me, why I am the true Reagan Three Principles conservative. You can see all sorts of information about the opponents, about me, and learn why I'm the obvious choice for the people here in Arizona, one that does not strike deals. If you want to volunteer, folks, we absolutely need plenty of volunteers still. We need money. If we're going to defeat John McCain and his tremendous war chest, we need people to come out for us. And I appeal to everybody out there, Bill, please have everybody vet the candidates. I'm the only one that is, without a doubt, a true conservative that can communicate message and actually have things fixed. I have a contract with the veterans and their families. Nobody else has done that. I'm a candidate that would never take stimulus money from the people. I have not done that, whereas one of my candidates has and is happy about it. She even mentions it. I'm the true conservative here in Arizona, the true constitutional conservative.
Alex Molusky, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. All right, and Alex's show is Saturday afternoon 5 to 6 here on KVOI. Memorial Day weekend is coming up, and that's the 21st annual Silver City Blues and Bikes Festival, and Taj Mahal Trio is the headliner. This is a free festival. It's become one of the big ones in the United States, so there'll be a lot of fun. 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City. Great places to stay when you go over there, like Casitas de Gila guest houses, and then you can just check out all the places to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. We'll be right back.
Five Star is going greener. In our efforts to stay environmentally friendly, we are going paperless. When you call us, you give us your name, your phone number, and your address, and your email address. You can now get your invoices by email, your statements, your receipts, and even appointment reminders. So call Five Star Termite and Pest Control at 886-0045 and help us save the trees.
We know what bugs you.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday afternoon as we push toward 11 minutes before 1 o'clock. Time for our monthly segment on the Buckmaster Show, where we focus on your medication and how to take control of your health care. Our segment is called Your Meds, and it features Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley is the former University of Arizona College of Medicine Dean and founder and now President Emeritus of the very successful Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, which is commonly referred to as CPATH. They have their headquarters up on Sunrise, up in the foothills of the Catalinas. Dr. Woosley's latest creation is Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from 180 countries. We suggest and urge you to visit crediblemeds.org. Dr. Woosley, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Good to see you.
You know, and I mentioned that because I live up in that area by CPATH. That is an organization that has just really been very, very successful. And a big credit to Tucson. We're talking a lot about economic development today.
That's right.
With this big news about Caterpillar. Mr. Huckleberry, in our interview at the top of the show today, said it's the biggest, probably in terms of job impact, in many, many years, maybe decades. CPATH is an economic driver here.
Absolutely. As you pointed out, it was a community-driven effort. You know, half of the money came from foundations. The other half came from government. The city and the county put up the money for the first 5 years to get it started. And now it's bringing home many-fold the return on that. The initial funding was about $2 million a year, I think, from the community. Now their annual budget is about $10 million a year. They've got funding from the Gates Foundation for malaria and TB. They've got the World Health Organization, the Alzheimer's Association. It's just been a tremendous success. Over almost 60 employees now, with very good paying jobs, recruiting some of the best people, and taking some of our best graduates from the university.
And the whole goal is to really get drugs, pharmaceuticals, toward the market in a safer, faster modality.
Exactly. But not working on the drugs, working on the way we test drugs. And that's a big difference. The companies develop the drugs, but CPATH finds a better way to test them and brings everybody together to share data, share information, and find out how can we best test this medicine to be sure it works and be sure that it's safe when it reaches the market as quickly as possible.
Terry has called us at 790-2040 with an antibiotic question. Go ahead, Terry.
Yes, doctor. I'm very concerned the side effects over and over again, antibiotics. I was given some doxycycline not too long ago, and I just walked to my car under the sun, and I ended up with terrible welts on my arm, etc. Then when I did the research on it, it just seems to be a common occurrence of this antibiotic. I just worry about it being persistent, whether or not that will have internal effects on me. I mean, if that's my skin, I was worried about my eyes and brain, etc. Maybe a silly question, but I quit taking it immediately.
There's no silly question when you're worried about medicines because, yes, they're very effective, but you suffered one of the real problems for Arizona. That drug, tetracycline, doxycycline, these drugs are photosensitizers, and in Arizona, that's not good. But sometimes you need them, and the problem with antibiotics is about half of the people who get them have a viral infection. And those drugs won't work for viral infections. So I think what our goal has been is to make sure you need the medicine and then be sure that you know how to use it. That medicine should have come with a warning to tell you to stay out of the sun.
That sounds like Terry really struggled in this sun on a day like this, so hot out there. What's this news about muscular dystrophy and this drug? The national media has been all over this, reporting that the federal the Federal Drug Administration Advisory Committee has rejected a new drug for muscular dystrophy.
Yeah, you know, hoping to speed up the development and access to medicines like CPATH, it's frustrating when you see a drug for something so important as muscular dystrophy get stalled like this. And you ask, well, what went wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And it's complex. And I've been on these advisory committees, and it's really a difficult decision. But I think it's important to know that, one, this is an advisory committee. It's not the FDA. They will make a decision. But the problem with this is, here's a very, and the reports on TV showed the families, you know, just wailing and crying because of this drug.
Well, they put so
down.
Much hope in this particular drug, these MDA muscular dystrophy families.
That's right. These children just are devastated mm-hmm. by this. So it's a heart-wrenching.
Mm.
But the problem, if you're on that advisory committee, you look at it and say, well, my gosh, they only studied about 50 people. And it's only...
Wow, that was a very small study, wasn't it?
Oh, it's tiny. It was actually two studies. Mm. One only had 12 children in it who were treated for about 4 years. The other was about 6 months, and it was about 35 children. And none of the children got better. Mm. They got worse. In fact, some of the two of the children really got worse very quickly. Some seem to get worse, less fast, but everybody declined. And everybody is so hopeful that there could be some benefit out there.
Have brought in the graphic, and of course this is radio, we can't show it, but basically it's the control group and the drug, and all of the direction points down.
Every one of them got worse.
Yeah.
Two very quickly on the drug that they hoped would work. Two patients got very sick. And the drug company threw out those data when they were calculating the overall benefit. And the other thing is the FDA inspected one of the data sites and found that the data were mishandled. The tissue biopsy, the painful biopsies that these children had to undertake were mishandled, so that couldn't be part of the story. So all in all, the advisory committee was trying to say, do it right. Let's find out for sure, because if we approve a drug that really doesn't work, you shut down other research and you expose children to a medicine. And one other very important point, this type of medicine has never been developed before.
What is this? How does this medicine work? Is it gene therapy?
It's a form of gene therapy. We're not giving genes, but you're actually turning on genes that have been turned off. And that means if you turn on the wrong gene, you might cause who knows what, maybe cancer. I hate to even say that. But
this is very experimental stuff.
It's very experimental. And the benefit isn't obvious. And if it is there, it's very small. And the unknown risk has to be considered. And the press made it seem like the battle FDA and their advisors were turning down these poor children. No one on that committee, having been there, I can tell you, you are wanting to get those medicines out as quickly as possible, but you know that you can't rush the data because we've seen over and over that a drug that is supposed to do one thing actually makes the problem worse and
What happens, Dr. Woosley, now in a case like this? You've said you've served on these committees, so it's back to the drawing board, and that what's the process?
Well, the FDA could overrule or go ahead and approve the drug with some limitations. They usually require more studies for the company to stay on the market. But my guess is, I'm just guessing, that they will require the companies to do more research because it looked like a couple of the 12 children did respond. The question is, did they really respond? Is there some characteristic of those children that we need to better understand? Find out what's the characteristic of the responder and the non-responder to focus that therapy on the people who could benefit. And find out if the dose was right, because it could be that a higher dose in the right children might work.
Ingrid called in, and her question for Dr. Woosley was, on what basis are the children even experimented on in the first place? It's a very good question. Obviously, the kids would have to have parental approval for something like
this. Children have to give assent, if possible, and the parents have to give consent, and it's informed consent, and it talks about all the known risks and the unknown risks. And the IRB process has really been finely tuned. And so, and this is one of those serious indications where you have to be worried about, you want to make sure people get fully informed because they're so afraid they would take anything. And you want to make sure you're not giving them false hope. And you want to make sure you're not giving them something that could hurt them and not help them.
Yeah, it's sad. All right, so crediblemeds.org is not sad. It's something that's good that people can find out. It's easy to use, right, Dr. Woosley?
We work very hard to make it accessible to patients, to physicians and prescribers, and to researchers. So
Log on and put in your medication.
Put in the medications you're taking. We will help you keep a record of those medicines so you can send or take that to your doctor and your pharmacist to check for drug interactions. We will let you know if any of the medicines on your list have the risk of causing heart damage and heart problems.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Woosley, and we'll look forward to hearing from you in June. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4, Mike Shaw, Ray Allen. Together, they will be putting on a great hour, I'm sure, this afternoon. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson. We get the midweek going already, huh? 6 to 8, and then the daily double, 8 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with Mr. Ray Allen. Ray, we'll do it tomorrow, won't we? Have a great afternoon and evening.